four recent shows that are streaming and we rank them on the order that we would recommend them, and the third episode of Secret Invasion on Disney Plus, all on this episode.
An elevator tape projection.
Hello, thanks for tuning in to Taking It Down, the TV and streaming podcast from the Alabama Take, where we prompt conversations for thoughtful, busy TV devotees, all from us, your irreverent outsiders. I'm Blaine Duncan, I'm the editor-in-chief of the Alabama Take. I always could not help dissecting why I like what I like and why I dislike what I dislike when it comes to TV, movies, and more. I have an English degree and a side hustle as an English teacher, so I'll try my best to offer insight that you can use for conversation with others, or even with us, or even just to think about. Luckily, my ideas aren't the only set of viewpoints on this podcast each week, as with me are the other hosts, Adam Morrows, an erudite traveling and studio musician with a penchant for fine literature. Donovan Reinwald is a media specialist with encyclopedic knowledge on film, television, and more. And Natalie Morrow, she's the first person to ask about fantasy, sci-fi, comics, trashy reality TV, and she's a huge Beyonce fan. From us, you'll get the obvious, but you'll get the obscure. We are here for the TV and streaming obsessed who are just too busy for anything more than the show or movie itself. We'll give the outside of Hollywood analysis, and like a lot of the Alabama Take productions, it'll come with zero Southern stereotype. Here's our official podcast beginnings. If you want more, we talked a lot about social media over on YouTube. We're going to do a quick segment where I'm going to talk about four shows kind of in general, definitely not spoiling anything. I'm going to offer up four shows, all of which I think could have promise, and then we'll talk a little about which I would pick out of the four that are happening. It's a lot to do with Apple TV Plus kind of being on the roll in the last month and a half. I'm going to start with the most recent one they started last week or two. It's called Hijack, starring Idris Elba on a plane. And that's, I mean, the title should tell you. I'm not going to say much more about plot. I will say that it is exciting in that early aughts kind of movie thriller used to be. It did make me worry at first if it needs to be a show, but still, it's just the watchability is very high. High as hell. I've watched two of the three episodes that are on right now, a new one this week.
How stressful is it?
A little bit.
A little bit. Scale yeah, 1 to bit. 10. What's the stress level?
On stress?
Yeah.
Well, I don't get that stress watching TV, so. No. Let me, for me, 4.5, 5.
So it's probably like an 8 or 9 for me.
Could be. Double it.
No yeah, thanks.
Double it. Oh, I want you to watch it now. My second one, stick with Apple TV Plus for a second, is City on Fire. It's a couple of months old. It is a show that's classic in a vein where every character is somehow linked to one another, and it's up to you to stick with it to figure out what their relationship is or could be. It's all a matter of figuring out how, I think. That's part of the allure. It gets a lot more interesting in its second episode, which is where I am. The full season is now all on Apple, so it's been a couple months. Can it get over a couple of characters being especially stupid? That's what it's going to amount to. But these characters are 2004, pre-Twitter, pre-Facebook kind of thing. They're walking around with smartphones. They're not walking around with smartphones. They're walking around with flip phones.
Like Michael Cera.
Like Michael Cera today in 2023. Michael Cera. It's 2004 New York, dealing with a fictional New York music scene. Lots of winks and nods, I think, to Strokes-like music. You know what I mean?
Do they fictionalize it a little bit?
Yeah, they totally fictionalize it because the music, other than the soundtrack, like the background music, is a fictional band. And it kind of revolves around this fictional band and what some of the things they're doing, as well as a bit of a Romeo and Juliet kind of love thing almost. It's kind of interesting. It's got those actors who are young and kind of up and coming, and you might have seen them in a small role on HBO, but they're not hitting their stride yet.
Right.
I'm going to hang out with it. The book by the same name, City on Fire, caught some flack with readers, but I think it got critical praise.
What was the flack?
I think too pretentious.
Oh, okay. Not like problematic flack, just critical flack.
Good question. Gotcha. No, no. Third is Silo. This one actually might be for Natalie.
It's about a grain harvest.
Well, it's not.
Dang.
It's a dystopian, futuristic, perhaps. Quite a mystery on what that's going to be. But everyone, apparently, is living in a silo-type environment that seems to be underground, very, very, very deep. Like some of the characters talk about, it took me the full day to get down here. Spiral stairwell going down. Stars David Oyelowo, Rashida Jones, Tim Robbins. The cast is pretty good. The acting's good. The story, I think they kind of messed up with the first episode. It feels like the first episode could have been the first 10 minutes of the second episode. But hang in there, because the second episode did get good. Took the whole first episode to lay out its kind of big idea, mission. It was intriguing, but it was slow. And David Oyelowo's the sheriff of the silo, and no one really knows what's going on other than they're in this silo and they never should ever leave. And it's been 140 years since anybody tried to make a change.
What are you smiling about, Nat?
Oh, I'm just going through all the possibilities of what the show could possibly be about, and all my ideas are really stupid. And I'm just laughing at myself.
I won't yes or no anything if it's happened.
Well, my first thought is, you know, this is a show that's just going to be a giant metaphor for community building and going outside your silo and finding other communities to make yourself stronger. It's not really a reach on that one. And what was the other? There was something
that's
else.
Actually pretty good. I'm not going to acknowledge that's wrong or right. That's every, like,
why doesn't this business work? Why doesn't this college work? It's because we're siloed. Like, that's just like a buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like shows before the people leave their happy little ruts.
Give me an example of one.
Like, you want the hobbits to stay in the Shire.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see a two-hour film of Frodo and Sam making decisions about when they're going to plant the spring vegetable garden.
Isn't there a PBS veterinary show that's just basically that, kind of? It's just so gentle and nice that...
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hadn't seen that one. That sounds like it's for me, though.
Yeah.
Which, this is good, where Natalie doesn't like to be stressed while watching stuff. And I'll watch A Hero's Journey. I'm not against it. Just, you know, maybe some slow TV would be nice, too. Like, what? How do they get water to the silo? Let's have a 5-episode arc.
I want to watch them dig the well.
They're growing plants hydroponically. Now, where the water's coming from, don't know. Or it looks to be hydroponically. Could be. Recycled urine. I do know at the very bottom of the silo, there's engineering that keeps lights on. That's not a big spoiler or anything. You knew that something like that had to be taking place. The fourth of my shows, maybe not fair to lump this one in. It's a HBO staple at this point. At least the actor is. The Righteous Gemstones is in its fourth season? Third. This show is good in its first two seasons because it's such a great balance of actual plot driven but 30 minute comedy, lots of cussing stuff. The first two seasons were so good because of that. This season hasn't really established what it wants its plot to be, and it's already 4 episodes deep. That's causing the balance to be just a little off. If you've watched the first two seasons, you're thinking, well, what do they want to do here? Walton Goggins is on the show and plays an uncle, and they held off on showing him this season until recently. And once he starts showing up, boy, it's always a good hang and just stupid funny. So I can recommend the first two seasons of it thoroughly. The first four of the third, it'd probably be fine, but interesting to see if they can figure out what direction they really want to go. So there are your four.
Of the three new ones, if you were going to pick one to have us watch tonight, which one would you pick?
Hijack was the one that gripped me the most.
Natalie's out.
I'm not watching. He's on a plane?
He's on a plane.
No, thank you. If I'm getting on a plane within 4 weeks of watching a thing, I'm not going to watch a thing about a plane going wrong.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh.
So no thank you.
My second pick of the three new ones on Apple TV, would be Silo. I think Silo really gets a lot better with that second episode, and it gives you a little bit more mystery, but answers a little bit, you know, it doesn't do that thing where it's going to hold out on everything.
Is this going to have like an M. Night Shyamalan twist where they eventually get out of the Shyamalan?
Yeah.
They convinced people to go down there, yeah, even though it wasn't necessary.
And the world just passed them by.
Something's going on. Yeah. Something's going on because they're holding off on that. And City on Fire, I think you guys would like, it's just, I do think you'd like, because it's got a diverse range of characters, and that band up to something kind of might interest you a little. The era might be a little interesting, though they don't seep you in the era enough other than everybody having a flip phone. I wish they would. I'd like to see like some.
What was that other show, Vinyl? That was okay,
it's
and
much
got
better.
Really bad.
Dear God, that got bad so quickly.
Yeah, it did.
Like third episode, boom, I was out. I remember bemoaning that show so badly on Twitter, speaking of our social media talk. Anyway, one of those three might come up next week in our conversation if you're a regular listener. I could recommend the three of those new ones. If you haven't seen The Righteous Gemstones, you know, get on board with that one. It's good. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk the most recent episode of Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion, probably not a lot for me to say. What about you?
I mean, yeah, not much.
Yeah, I still think it's okay. It's an okay show. There's small things I think the show does well, but it's only on occasion, like, does really well. The detail about how Gravik loves sugar in his coffee is just the kind of weird, quirky thing. I think if you do it and you don't really have a purpose, it can be kind of just fun.
It was a little like Men in Black throwback when the roach guy just keeps asking for sugar in his water.
Are they trying to play on that?
I don't know, but that's all I can think of.
I'm really worried they're going to use that in the sixth episode to be like some big
maybe
plot point.
It's gotta So he's already a Super Skrull. It's got to be like he's burning so much energy now that he's got to have the sugar to keep his metabolism going.
And Kingsley Benadire, he played it so well. You know, I'm not sure what his direction would have been, but it's like when Ben Mendelsohn's character Talos asked him about it, he's like, he makes a funny little joke that you hear all the time about.
He likes a little espresso in his sugar or something.
That's it. That was the joke. Yeah, I like my sugar with coffee. Yeah, it's the old joke. Why not continue to do things like that? Again, I'm working under the assumption that they're not going to make this some sort of big, huge plot thing. Why not do that with your characters? You've got the 6 hours rather than the two. Give them quirks. Give them funny things.
Yeah, it's great.
I like that. I know critics aren't a big fan of this show.
I mean, I don't care what the critics say about this show.
We usually don't. There are a few whose opinion I will nod along with on occasion, and I realize I don't always agree with them. The very end of this episode, I'll go all the way to the end of the voice on the phone with Fury's wife as she's walking to take some action, it sounded like Don Cheadle's.
I can't remember.
So she's walking through an airport or a train station. When she's decided to take it upon herself to take action, we're not quite sure on which direction she's going to go. But then she gets a phone call. And I think it's Don Cheadle's voice, which means it's Rhodey. Don't know. I figured you would be on top of confirming that kind of thing.
I missed it. I know that I watched this episode, but I don't remember. For some reason, I can't today place when that was. Must have been Friday night.
It's not a very eventful episode, though. It wasn't boring necessarily.
No.
I love the Gravik multiplying. You know, that was in the trailer, but when he stands up after he's being threatened by Talos, there's suddenly a bunch of him there in the cafeteria.
Yeah, that was a good effect, I thought.
The voice on the phone could be Don Cheadle's. We'll find out probably next week. Samuel L. Jackson makes the line, "No one calls me Nick." And I noticed that had a lot of people scrambling to wonder, you know, how far back can we go with this? Has anybody ever called him Nick? Did Tony Stark call him Nick?
Doesn't he say in Captain America, not Captain America, Captain Marvel, in that mm-hmm. movie, she calls him Nick when they first meet, and she says, and he says something like, "Not even my mom calls me Nick."
Oh, really?
I think so. Like, it's some just like throwaway line.
At the end of every episode, you get that choice to watch Captain Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. That's
sometimes cool. I think I'll just watch it. Why not? As I drift off to sleep, I might. But Sonya calls him Nicholas, or I don't think she calls him that. She does reference the owl's name's going to be Nicholas or something.
Yeah.
With the little patch. There's something Sonya drops that some of our listeners might be interested in. She says that these events should put someone's men on their heels, and the someone is the villain from Black Widow, the Russian guy. I don't think he had any powers. He was just over the production of those Black Widow.
Yeah. Isn't he dead?
She says, it seems like it, but there I've seen a message board too that they think that was his name that was mentioned. And they're in Russia. I don't know. If they do that, that is really trying to tie up a bunch of odd threads into one.
It's like they're just setting up for the Thunderbolts or whatever when two Black Widows basically are coming back.
Which two?
What's her name? Florence Pugh's character and the daughter, the bad guy's daughter that was the robot.
Okay.
Character. I don't remember their names.
Yeah, some of this is starting to blur together. If Marvel is going to insist on using tiny things like that, I wish they'd put them in the recap at the beginning.
We need like a pop-up video version of these shows.
That's what we should do. I don't have the time for that, but that would be really interesting. Last note, and I made it earlier, I just think Kingsley Benadire is doing really good as Gravik. He's a villain that I like to watch on screen. His reactions are, you know, I said it in the first episode, they're kind of like an asshole reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he's talking to Gaia. She'll say something and he'll look at her like, "I'm smarter than you."
Yeah, I think overall the acting this for this series has been far and away better than the other. Well, there were a couple standouts in some other shows, but overall, yeah. I think this is the best cast.
And that's Marvel's huge bonus, is they got the money to get really good actors. It's like Ben Mendelsohn. He's just, you really feel like, okay, he means what he's saying. And like you've said before, that's what they're paid to do. But still, top notch. Kingsley Benadire is a little younger than the rest of the cast, so it's kind of, he and Emilia Clarke are probably she's probably a good bit older than him even. She just is a young looking woman.
I do think this episode, and I think we've talked about this in other shows, but it's kind of nice when a show will, like, there's the good guys, there's the bad guys, and then there's the people that are caught in between that have opinions about things but aren't. Like, yeah, a lot of the Skrulls aren't happy with their lot in life. They want a home. They want a place where they feel like they can be themselves and belong. That doesn't make them bad guys, though, because they're not. Those also aren't the extremists. So it's kind of, right. I like it when these shows give us that third point of view.
It's a dab of
I think this
nuance.
Episode did that, yeah.
Well, yeah, Fury's wife, you know, she's married to a human. She's not wanting to wipe out the human population just to have a place to live, but at the same time, she's got friends, family, whatever, that are Skrulls. It makes sense. Donovan pointed out a while back that this is kind of a thought exercise on refugees. They haven't really tried to drill that home. I guess that's probably for the good.
Yeah, I think maybe they had to pick, and they picked, let's push the Russia, and maybe that could be our one thing.
The spy kind of thing, yeah. Although I don't think they're hitting their points with being a spy thriller. I just think it's relatively entertaining. And
yeah,
when it comes out on Wednesday, I watch it on Wednesday. So that's always a plus. I don't put anything in front of it almost ever.
That's good. That's my weekend watch. But
is it your week? Okay.
Yeah. Just because Adam doesn't watch it, yeah. So I just wait till he's out or he's asleep, so.
I'm always appreciative too of a nice little compact 45 minute episode of something. I've gotten.
Yeah, and there hasn't been like the gotta wait for the mid credits, whatever the hell. That's been.
Yeah. They avoid that with their shows almost always, I think.
There was a few that they were doing it. And then there was a couple of episodes in a series where like they would just do it in like one or two episodes. So you would never really know if you missed one or not. And that's just stupid.
That was She-Hulk.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Still kind of sort of enjoying Secret Invasion. I mean, it's not the greatest thing, but I don't think it's Disney Plus's worst Marvel show ever by a long shot.
No. I think it's a very entertaining way to spend 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's kind of a comfort type watch, but more on the entertainment level of comfort than like a Somebody Somewhere kind of comfort.
Right.
All right, well, that's it for us this week. Talk to us online. We're all over social media for now until one or two of them fall off the face of the earth. So see everybody next week if you're on YouTube, and we'll just talk to you if you're listening to us in a podcast app. Thanks.